Let's have a word. Father, preaching / teaching is critically important to serving the church because we're dealing with God's words to serve as of we are God. We can serve by hands, by deeds. But before we can serve by hands and feet and our body, better know how we can serve in words. And Father, you put a lot of emphasis in the Bible saying whenever we need to preach the word. Help us to understand the importance of it, the significance of it. Help us to understand the weight of the role of preacher in the church. And I bless everybody here that through us, you speak your own words in the end time church. And Father, I pray for the following hour, you be with us, and you personally, you teach us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right. So I explained a little bit about the words earlier, okay? I'm not going to repeat it, but let me just go ahead and see if you have any questions, you can ask any time, all right? All right, let me tell you my mission, okay? The role of preaching is so critically important, but before we dive into the words preaching, I want to give you my own version of homiletics, all right? My own version of homiletics is this. We preach and teach through our lifestyle, occasionally by words. Why I say this? Like in Jesus' time, he had 12 disciples follow him wherever he goes and learn from Jesus' lifestyle. Hear what he said. When he eat, when he go to the bathroom, or whatever Jesus did, they were with him. And that's what I call a lifestyle preaching, okay? So my kind of preaching is really a lifestyle. But unfortunately these days, a good preacher cannot live 24/7 with his disciples. So he or she does not have an opportunity to observe or listen or to hear whatever Jesus said or a master. A master, disciples, okay? Master is a teacher. Master is the person we learn from. Ideally is somebody you have a group of disciples live with him 24/7 and learn from his lifestyle, including words. That's the most ideal situation. But unfortunately, we can't do that these days. So that's why I put occasionally. That means since I cannot live with you 24/7, so I can only occasionally, like once a week, or a couple weeks, a couple times a week, can teach through my mouth, through my words, through my speech. But my calling of homiletics, true homiletics, is to live with you and lead by example, a lifestyle. Okay, that's my goal. That's my version of homiletics, right? I know it's not standard, but that's what I have in mind. So if we want to learn, hopefully, you know, I'm so envious of the 12 disciples. They have the 24/7 window. Learn from their master day in and day out. But see, the time pass, and I will be gone one day. What I have left, Jesus, what I have left, is only words. It's only words, not lifestyle. Or a little bit on the lifestyle, yes, but only the words. So, okay, this is only the second choice of my true homiletics If I have opportunity, I would like to live with you 24/7. But second choice, since I don't have it, so I teach you and I preach, okay, occasionally. That's why I put this word there. And the scripture base of the preaching is this. All right, it's on 2 Timothy. So he's preached the message, be ready whether it is convenient or not, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and instructions, all right? So all I'd like to do, have you guys work on this homework a little bit more. So this passage I want to pass on to you, and this is going to what happened most of the time, since we don't have a master to live with him 24/7, and this is the second best, okay? Second choice. All right, and then followed by the introduction. Introduction of the homiletics is the art of preaching. That's my version again, from the Bible. Therefore, very important as a second choice. Because I cannot show you, demonstrate, live out my own preaching in person, so the second choice of the two I have is to preach. And I believe most of you do the same thing. I don't believe you have a group of students live with you 24/7, follow you whenever you go. So these days it's just not practical. And the second choice, the best of the second choice, is preaching. Through your teaching, giving instruction, and giving your life testimony, people benefit. Okay? All right. So equipping to speak, all right? Real simple, I just go through the pretty much the bullet point. Whoever like to speak on behalf of God is called a prophet. I think I explained to you many times, what's the definition of a prophet? Prophet. Send a diagram. The mouthpiece of God, okay? So whoever speak on behalf of a God, in a broader sense, is a prophet. All right. I think a couple Sundays ago, two or three Sundays ago, I explained to you, prophet, you have a broad meaning of prophets, or you have very narrow meaning of prophets. If we're talking about broad, every husband or every teacher or every Sunday school, it's a prophet. You're speaking on behalf of God. And that's a prophet. A narrow definition of prophet is thou sayest God, thou sayest Yahweh. 就是耶和华如此说, it's a proclaim, God says this. It's a very serious matter, right? But we, as a preacher standing here, speak on behalf of God. It's a prophet. Maybe not so significant, maybe not 100%. But we're in the office of a prophet. Okay? So I want everybody to understand, whenever you teach, even in Sunday school, you are in the office of a prophet. Right? Don't take it lightly, because people hear your words, they may think, most likely they will think, it's word of God. So we, as a preacher, we want to do our very best, nothing but my God's word speaking from my mouth. But on the other hand, I cannot guarantee everything I say is from the Lord. So I have to ask Holy Spirit in your heart, the same Holy Spirit in everybody's heart, that discern which one is a true word from God or which one is not. Another word you need to discern. You need a screen. You need a filter. All right? But prophet has a very critical role in the Bible, in the church. You speak on behalf of God. Does that everybody understand the meaning of prophet? I know narrow definition of prophet is somebody wearing a very different clothes. Thou sayest the Lord, it's very, very rare these days. I don't think there's 90 that kind of prophet anymore. But a lot of prophet, like me and standing here, teach you guys, teach Sunday school, teach Bible study Friday night, all in the capacity or office of prophet, okay? So whoever wants to speak, you and I need to understand we are occupying, we speak in the office of a prophet, right? So if you and I don't have the passion or the calling, we shouldn't be doing this. All right, let me back up one step. Generally speaking, in all church ministry, there are two types of service you can have or you can offer. The one is the word service. The other one is the deeds service, right? The words means you preach, you through your mouth, you primarily use your head. Explain the Bible, teach what the Bible says. You speak on behalf of the prophet. The words ministry. That's usually is the leader. Usually is the head or the whoever standing in very front. I humbly admit it, in this church, it may be me or a few guys standing in very front because you bear the responsibility of teaching. Whenever you do teaching, you guide the group, guide the flock, you guide the church, you lead the way, you discern which one is God's way, which one is not. You are the gatekeeper of the flock. So this is tremendous of importance. So the words ministry, and then you have another section of service is deeds ministry. That's usually is the deacons. Okay, the deacons, it means people serve with their hands. Okay? That means you work with your hands. So the two type of ministry, usually both exist in the church. And I personally believe both are interchangeable. Both are sometimes mixed. Nobody says, oh, I'm too good for this ministry. I only teach. No, I don't believe that's a good one. You do both. You can work on hands, but you can also you work on the on words. Usually, if we look at the Bible, in Acts, it says, I can't remember what chapter, it says the apostle says, usually that's the case. We are very occupied with the preaching of the good words and the prayer. So why don't you deacons do the deeds work by feeding the widows and by feeding the unnoticed? So the deeds ministry usually handle the task, works, hands-on work, deacons. But the elders, usually in our church, that's a very general description. But anyway, if you're an elder of the church, you are the pastor, you're shepherding, you are teaching words of God. So the teaching of the words is not superior or better than those serving deeds. It's only because their calling and their passion are different. Okay? So this I want to emphasize again and again. So whoever serve in a church, I believe they should be able to serve both. Some people are good at words, not good at deeds. Some people are good at deeds, not good at words. That's okay. But we need to know both are critically, equally important. And I do not want to have anybody have an idea. Oh, he served with the words. He only served in the words. He's superior or so better than the other people. No. We have different callings. So I put a calling there. And this is a calling. So for those people, you naturally, you know, you can deal with the words better than the deeds. Because when you do handle deeds, you may be fumble, you may be clumsy, you may be not good at it. But when you handle the words of God, the Bible, oh, you feel at home, you feel very comfortable. Oh, I love and I enjoy and I can teach. I have the burden to share. Okay? So you guys have to discern yourself which area I'm better. Am I better in words or am I better in deeds? And some people are good at both. Okay? I don't believe none of you are good at nothing. Everybody have your office in the church, all right? So I want to give this out first. Calling is God's calling, design you, designate you. The purpose of your existence in church is to serve in that area, all right? Okay. And also the passion. What's it mean by passion? You enjoy that. And some people work on hands very enjoyably. Oh, this is what I like. Oh, I do things. I feel good. I feel comfortable. And I usually can do a good job. Usually the calling go together. Usually, I'm saying, huh? Not every time. Usually I go together. Because if you are a calling, God usually give you the gift, the skill set. Usually. But you can also, oh, I don't have a skill set, but I feel the urge or the strong leading to that direction. Maybe God will train you. Maybe God will, you know, give you the skill set in a later time, but you have to pay the price. So ideally, calling and passion is two sides of one aspect. I mean, two aspects or one thing, but can be interchangeable. Right? This is what I'm saying. So everyone, and you have to ask yourself, do I feel comfortable serving with hands or serving with my mouth? If you're good at, you're eloquent, you're good at conversational, you're good at communicating, most likely probably you are good at teaching, okay, preaching. You may not be good at hands because you're not handy. That's fine. But you feel comfortable doing it. Usually that's the case, okay? So calling and passion, all right? You understand, huh? So this I want to explain to you. As a prophet of God, it's a broader definition of prophet. Prophet is mouthpiece of God, a mouthpiece. You know what mouthpiece? If you, you blow a trumpet, the trumpet is not just like do this. You have a mouthpiece. Mouthpiece, put it in, and you blow it, and through this mouthpiece, the sound, the air coming out, and coming out the whatever, your music. The mouthpiece is God use prophet speak on his behalf. Okay, so if you see, you read the Bible, it says, "Thou says the Lord." Thou says the Lord. That means Yehuwa, Yehuwa, 如此说. It's a very narrow, it's a narrow definition. Okay, so speaking, we gotta have that ideally. But again, I want to emphasize: some people I have seen they develop the ability or the skill set in a later time. But this is it for the generally speaking. Okay, all right, and this is what it says. If somebody very difficult speaking or had a hard time understanding the words or meaning, you don't have the gift, it's usually hard to develop, but I'm not saying it's impossible. So I just want to bring out the difference. Usually, if God calls you to preach, you will feel the burden, you will feel the calling, you feel the passion, and you have the gift. You have to hone it, you have to make it better, yes, but you come with the skill set to need to speak effectively, all right? I also put on the word effectively. That means you don't mumble. A lot of speakers you have noticed, perhaps he or she is not in the best condition, he's just mumbling with his or her own words. And it's not preaching, it's not speaking on behalf of God, and you have to speak very fluently, ideally, right? Effectively and efficiently, and make everything clear, understandable. The brother, sister can benefit. They understand. You use good example, you use the right scripture, and control your time, control everything. You speak very effectively, okay? All right, and then This is what I want to emphasize the most is you really pay the price. You really pay the price. All right. preaching the pulpit is not a stage of a talent show. This I want to emphasize 100, if not thousands times. And we all have a desire to showcase ourselves. Okay, let me repeat. We all have a tendency, we all have an inheritance desire to showcase ourselves. Showcase meaning is a verb. Showcase mean what, Mike?
To show off.
To show off. To showcase.
Brag.
To brag, yes. We all have that tendency. I know that. Okay. We're all human beings. We all have that. Okay. If you can do something, you want to, everybody, come on. Give me some spotlight. Give me applause. Give me, oh, how good you are. We all have that kind of a desire. I know it's not good, especially in the church. But we all have it. Like, see, American got talents, British got talent, Africa got talent, everybody got talent. And you want that 15 minutes on the stage. Everybody look at you, everybody will say, how good a job you've done. We all like that spotlight. But in my opinion, this is not the case. We have to distinguish the difference between I'm standing here, or you in the future standing here, when you teach, when you preach, you do as of your God. You teach not for your own glory. This I want to emphasize to all students, all preaching students. In 2014, I was teaching this in Zhonghua Fu Yin Shen Xue Yuan in Taiwan. And I told all those preachers, do not use your pulpit as your stage of a talent show. And this is, definitely God will not like it. Because when you and I standing here, we act like a God. We're not God, right? We act as if we are God. We teach, we sincerely share our view, share God's view. You have to adhere firmly God's own words. When people like to showcase themselves, they usually they want to show off their own ideas, philosophy, their talents, right? So people usually show off, what can I do? I can sing, I can play, I can do this, I can do that. You show off, you showcase yourself. But if we ever preach, we want to showcase who? Yes. We want to showcase God. That is a whole change of different mentality. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for God. I'm here for the brothers and sisters. I'm here to hopefully, ideally, translate God's word into something you and I can understand and we can put in our life. Let me spend the time a little bit on translating, all right? You know all the music. You guys play good at music. And you guys, in particular music, when we read a note, like a 歌谱, huh? When we have a binder or whatever, oh, lots of notes, right? And you have instrument, brass, you have strings, 管弦乐, whatever. When the orchestra play the music, they are only interpreting the music. You understand what I'm saying? The author of the music, Beethoven or Mozart or whoever, when they write it, when they author the piece, he has some ideas in there. He put in his thoughts, he put in his everything there, his emotion there, his picture there, his imagination there. He put in the music. He cannot put his mind there. So he put on his notes on black and white paper. All right, 100 years, 1,000 years. this piece of paper, transferred to the people hundreds of years later, they can only translate, interpret what the original author means. So they will interpret it and show a form of interpretation. And that's how it works, translation. Another word, the Bible is the same. We are mere interpreting what the original author of the Bible says. Do you understand that part? All right? The original author written down the best he can, recorded what he or she received from the Lord. Okay, that I don't think is a translation. Well, some ideally it shouldn't be a translation, direct words. But when he put on the words, you and I can understand. Thousands of years later, we can only translate. All right. So if you and I don't have all the background, all the the loyalty or the determination, we can translate any way we want it. Now listen to this. Bible is the same, but translation, how you interpret the Bible, can be thousands way. You understand what I'm saying? Are you for slave or not for slave? Most of us are not for slave, right? But if you're for slave system, you say, see, the Bible says for slavery. You can find all the proof from the Bible. If you translate one way, your way is not a Bible way. So what I'm saying is we have to be loyal, very loyal, very faithfully translate the original meaning of the Bible, not yours or my idea. All right? So you and I need to pay the price. This is not going to be easy. We need to pay the price to learn how to be loyal and adhere firmly to God's own words. Okay? All right. So doesn't come say, okay, I'm eloquent. I'm good conversant. I'm very good sharing with communicator. No, you are not. You are communicating God's own words, not your own word. That's the difference, all right? So we have to really pay the price. So this is, I think, in my view, is the number one key to a good preacher or not. You're willing to pay the price, okay? All right, and it's a sub-point. First one, acquire the basics, Bible background, and so forth. So if you and I want to preach God's word, and you don't know him that well, I doubt that you can do a good job, period. If you want to know, you want to introduce Li Guiqi, for example, I don't think I can do a good job. Probably Alicia can do a better job because she knows her better. Isn't that right? That's very simple. So if you want to know somebody, introduce his work, you better know him. You better know the author. You better know who is speaking, why he speaks, what his history, where he come from, why he think this way or that way. So this is you know, we have to know the basics, okay? So the background and so forth. So I encourage you read the Bible whenever you can. Just to get together, gather all the basic knowledge, basic background, and so forth, right? All right, and then we need to a little bit training on hermeneutics and homiletics. All right, hermeneutics is, all right, Minjie, you tell me, definition of hermeneutics. Okay, see, 用英文讲. Okay, interpret the Bible. The skill set, the knowledge, or the know-how, how to explain interpret the Bible, right? Hermeneutics. And homiletics is what we're doing here. Basically, I think I have maybe four classes, like a quarter long class about hermeneutics. I just concise everything in one hour. So basically, you got all the condensed version of it, but it's all homiletics. I'll show you a little bit more reference a little bit later, okay? But I will encourage you, whenever you can, learn a little bit more about these two areas, hermeneutics. And lastly, we need a sound scripture interpretation. And this, I cannot emphasize more. If you interpret it the wrong way, forget about application. Nothing going to be useful. But I want to emphasize, this is basic, it's hermeneutics, and then you and I need to put good application on it. If I explain the Bible to you, there's no application, it's useless. What is good for me? And people will ask, I have learned this, so? Then you'll be useless. So all homiletics, you got to be useful, you got to put in practice, can you live out in life, all right? So this is a very simple few points I want to share with you. All right. Here, I collect only a few books. Okay, I didn't bring the whole thing. And I have here three or four English one, two Chinese one. All right, so if you guys interested, okay, Biblical Preaching, Effective First-Person Biblical Preaching, The Modern Preacher and the Ancient Text, and Getting the Message. All right, so this is a part of the textbook, okay, from the course I have learned. If you guys are welcome to borrow it, I put a note here. You borrow it, you put on your name, today's day, and whenever you want to return, you can borrow it. Okay, this is English version, all right? And this is a Chinese version. Not many in Chinese, though. 四经讲道设计, 实用圣经讲道, okay, 这是, Robinson, 这是翻译的, 然后这个是赖若翰, 哦, 李定武, 不是, 啊, 那个赖若翰有那本没找到, 李定武, 这, right, all the Bible expository, that means 四经, from the Bible to the Bible, right? So you can welcome to borrow this. Anybody may interested in it? Sure, I have Japanese one too. All right. This is a cheating, huh? This is my notes. Basically, you can borrow it too, all right? But just don't look at my grade. No, it's okay. Anyway, they got two semesters, two terms. And I think they are very good. I think they are very helpful. If you look through the notes, and you know what they teach in seminar. So I believe they are helpful. Okay, so you're welcome to borrow it, but you need to return it, right? I give you a small homework. I want to, next Sunday. And I'm grateful to God, and I appreciate all you come, many of you can come more than I expected. Next Sunday, let's preach our first sermon on preaching. Meaning, it's going to be voluntary, all right? If you are interested in preaching, next Sunday, I'd like to have you prepare 5 to 10 minutes of preaching, no translation. And we will help you, coach you to do a better job by giving you critics. All right, the passage is the one I just gave you earlier. It's on 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2. Any volunteers? All right, 1, 2. Come on, more. 3. Come on. Okay. Yeah, no problem. 4. Okay. Now, listen. We've done this many, many times, all right? And I found it critically important. You know why? We're sitting here, if we give you suggestion critics, we are not criticizing you. We give you tips. We give you ideas. Oftentimes when we preach, I have tons of it, blind spots. I don't even know I have it. I don't even know I have it. But when I preach in 5 minutes, I do my best here, and people give me feedbacks. For example, I don't have enough eye contacts. My gesture is not good. I move around too much. Whatever it may be, I stutter, keep on repeating certain words. We all need people's reminding. It's very helpful. You may feel embarrassed, but in the long run, it helps you a lot. So the next week, depends on how many people are volunteer, I would like to encourage you, go home, study this, just this verse, okay? Just only one verse. You preach from this verse. Use all your skills, hermeneutics, you're reading the reference book, commentary or whatever. Preach on this. And we give you suggestions. How's that? I encourage you, do it for your own benefit, okay? Next Sunday, within 1 hour, we'll do that. Okay, let's see how many people. One more time. 1, 2, 3, 4. Only 4? 5? Come on. 6. Okay, roughly 10 minutes a person. All right? So you preach 5 minutes. You preach 5 minutes and let the rest of the 5 minutes give feedback. All right? Questions? All right. You don't want feedback? You, Minjera, I'm asking you. You're worried somebody may criticize. You know, if me feel embarrassed, I was standing there hundreds of times, people saying this and that. But, you know, eventually you will do it. Okay. Do it, all right? Do it. Shorter the version of the preaching, it's more difficult to do. I totally understand. But it will be a tremendous challenge. We need pressure. Nobody volunteer for pressure, all right? Nobody volunteer for pressure. But pressure help you and help me. I can share my personal testimony. I don't want to be here every week preaching. You know why? The pressure is huge and humongous and never stop. Continually every week, it's a grueling, it's experience. But in the same time, I know it's better for me. If I don't have the pressure, I will just goof off. Easy. We need pressure. So I'll volunteer for pressure. It's difficult. I understand. It's difficult. Right, Lucy? Huh? Lucy preached once. She knows better now. Twice. It's not fun. Okay? You speak as if you're God here. But we need that kind of pressure. Off. So this is like one preaching to me. It's like even heavier than a regular Sunday sermon. But I feel our church needs future preachers, not just me. I even willing, admittedly, shamefully, one day if I see you better do a better preaching job than I do, I'll be happy. and I'll be happy. I'm not going to be envy you, oh, my job security is gone, whatever. No, I want you to be a better preacher, okay? More effective preacher, all right? For the future generations, okay? So it's good for you, because the most difficult problem for me is that you practice what you preach. That's the most challenging, difficult task. I personally believe if you cannot work it, you cannot do it, don't preach it. Because preach is a lifestyle, remember? If we cannot do it, then we preach it. I'm only a Pharisee, Pharisee. I only can say it, I cannot do it. I don't want to be a Pharisee, okay? So I need to put my deeds in my words. That's the most challenging one. So it will help you. If you are going to preach, I guarantee you will do a good job that week. Okay, you will keep yourself intact and live a holy life. Okay, so it's good for you. All right, one more time, last time. How many people want to do it? Okay, come on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, 2, 4, 7.
8.
8. Okay, all right. 3 to 4 minutes preaching. I know, you know why? People are going to last. It will last. I guarantee you will last longer. It'll be fun, but no matter. The language you more prefer. I don't want you distracted, right? So, oh my God. Oh my God. I didn't think of that part. I didn't think, oh my God. Okay, we'll go with the flow, all right? And I want everybody to practice, okay? All right? Okay, so this is all I have. I know I have hundreds of words more, but open up. Any questions, ideas, thinking? We have like 15 minutes more, and that will be it. Any other thinking?
Some tips to how to prepare.
Okay, all right. Okay, I have all the notes there. You can take. Yeah, all the notes are there. Okay, that mechanical part is all there. Okay, all right, few things. Okay, I just want to share with you. This is a very short version of it. When you preach, okay, your attitude shows in your outside. So I personally believe it demonstrates how serious and how you want to present yourself as God, right? So I believe when you preach, you prepare your heart first, right? Your mindset, your soul, your spirit, the readiness, I want to speak on behalf of God. And then it will demonstrate, it absolutely will show up in your facial expression and the clothes you wear. And wear something nice, okay? I don't believe if somebody will preach on God, he wear the pajamas, for example. Oh, thou sayest the God. Okay, I don't believe that would be the case. You serious, and you don't want to distract people's attention. For example, I wear the sloppy clothes, and people will look at you. You know, when we preach, when we do this type of service, especially before the people, you and I need to think for the majority of the benefit of the church people, not you. A lot of people say, oh, as long as you feel comfortable, that's fine. No, it's not fine. Because you are serving others, you're not serving you. Okay? So whenever you preach, you serve brothers and sisters, you help them to understand the Bible. And your attitude show up in your dress code. So I'm not forcing you to wear a tie and things, but at least it shows your attitude, right? So before you preach, I usually go to the bathroom, make sure it's all good. You know, your zipper is on. You know, truthfully, okay? Don't do those foolish things, distract people's attention. You are serving them. You are thinking for their best benefit. Don't have I wear something funny, you know. Don't do that. And also, you can use a lot of tools. This is tools, okay? And I'll make it, long story short, we have 5 senses to learn, okay? Your hearing, your vision, your touch, okay? That's 5 feelings, right? 五感嘛, huh? Use those creatively. Okay, you know what I'm saying? And I remember one demonstration used people talk about God. And one student brought in the fragrance, let every pass by. This is a fragrance, let everybody feel it, smell it. And they know, have a first learning experience. Oh, this is a fragrance, just like God, like a smell incense. Okay, so use whatever tools you feel comfortable, creatively help or enhance your student or the audience to learn the Bible, the God's Word, okay? So use all kind of tools, okay? Tools, use it effectively will be helping a lot, a long way. So in the beginning, in those days when I first started, 20 years ago, we have only transparency. Anybody know what transparency is? You're old enough, okay. So those transparencies, you put on a projector, right? You write on it, you do something, you change the transparency one at a time. Now this has come so handy, so powerful. You can almost do without it. You cannot. So use this, or use sound, or use fragrance, you smell, or you pass a craft for people to touch it. See, this is how it feels. That's good. Long as your objective is achieved, it's all good. Okay? It's nothing, of course, you don't want to use something really bizarre and destructive, but use whatever means that's appropriate so people can understand what you're saying, okay? So that's just technical part. It's a lot of them there. I have hundreds of lines. But anyway, any other questions you want to ask? 10 more minutes, 5 more minutes. Okay.
From last week, one verse just pop in your mind, like God gave it to you, and you have to research that verse in a situation like we're going about to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This verse is not come up by ourselves, but assigned by your
yes.
God,
yeah.
Or assigned by you.
Okay.
Which way do you usually get the verse?
All works. Everything works. Okay. If you don't feel this is your calling, change one, by all means. Okay, you have a special feeling of one particular verse. Use that, but use from the Bible, okay? Don't get use your words. Now, use the Bible, interpret it hermeneutically, and explain expository. Right? Share with your brothers. That's good. All right? For me personally, it comes from various sources. Reading the Bible, hearing the Bible, look at things happen around me. Oh, okay, I know, I think I'm going to be anchored in certain verse. And I use that verse expository to preach. Okay, so in the future, you guys do the same. You may get some inspiration from different sources, but that's okay. God uses different ways to inspire people, right? God is not limited by our incapability. So if you don't, this is what I suggest. You don't have to worry about picking one. But if you have something in your mind, go ahead, by all means. But time is limited, 3 to 4 minutes, right? Okay, so use whatever verse. This is just I suggest if you don't have a pick, right? And I hope this week your time will be very spent efficiently. You will be very suffering in many ways. I'm going to agree. Good for you. Good. Good for you. You and I need it. Right? And this is a Christmas gift. All right. Time is critical, right? Lately, I feel we need to end everything. We need to control our time as we say it, because God's credibility is hinged on our the habit of on time or not. That's why I'm more careful, you know, keep the time short. Because if you say that meeting going to be in at 1 o'clock, you last long and long like Lucy last time, almost 2 hours. I don't know, some people say, oh man, I don't care what God says, 2 hours too long. But yes, let's keep our very best to the time we say we will end. But in the same time, if the Holy Spirit works, let it flow. We need both, all right? Do our job, do your job best, control your time. But if the Holy Spirit inspires you to go on, go ahead. We need both, two buckets. Okay, 5 more minutes. Any other questions? Whatever you have in mind. But scripture is there. For example, I'll give you a little bit hint. The most important usual is the verb. Okay, in this, what is the verb? Preach, right? So what preach consists of? Reproof, rebuke, it's all, right? Something like that. All right. So, just give an example. So, what's that mean? What's mean by reproof? What's mean by rebuke? Okay. Go to the original text. Find out what's mean. What does it mean to you? What do you mean by convenient or not? Okay. Complete patience. What's that mean? Instruction. Oh, I know. Application. Right. Instruction. You instruct how to do it in your life. You have got to instruct them, real, put in practice how you're going to do it, right? So, for example, something like that, okay? And you know how to preach, and for same passage, you even can preach numerous times. This year, next year, I guarantee you'll be different, because every time it's different. God give you the inspiration, the urgency. It's different, okay? So therefore, you can preach one scripture, thousands of times, with different emphasis every time. Right? It's all preaching. Okay, so preaching is art, of course, but there is a mechanical there. But on top of the mechanics, there's a lot of art element there. Okay. All right, one last minute. Okay, preaching is. Do you think there is an entertainment element in preaching? You think? Question. Oh, we have to be serious. I'll say so all the time. You know, I have heard many preachers in the past. Some preacher, they really good at jokes, right? They speak jokes. Oh, we have fun, a lot of it. But at the end, I just feel, oh, God, what did I learn today? There's no beef. Okay. But on the other hand, you give him a half-pound beef. I don't think people can just swallow it in one meal, right? So how you do preparation appropriately, humor is good, adequate joke is good. There's a certain element of entertainment in there. But use it wisely. Use pause wisely. Like, pause. You know, it's very difficult to pause when you speak. You want to continue to speak. You don't want to stop. But like, everybody's attention has got back. You know, this is one of the tools, okay? Wisely use pause, okay? Media, use instrument, use incense, whatever. Creatively, okay? Creatively use whatever. Pass the message, God's message, to brothers, sisters, so the church can be benefited. That's it. All right? Okay. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll end. Father, I pray for this group of future preachers. They all have a passion. They know the church needs good preachers, good teachers, because they lead where church is going. And Father, bless every one of them. And make them a good workers of hermeneutics and homiletics. And Father, bless them so our church can be blessed. The whole community can be blessed. The whole generation can be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.